on rest. And it blows me away. I'm not a crowd person. Anyone like to be in crowds of people? Go to a Disneyland or Costco. You have to go at certain times when the mothers are picking their kids up from school. Then it's empty. But other than that, there's all these places that are tons of people. And you ever sit there and wonder and you go, you know what? And then the Olympics brought this to mind too. I'm watching the Olympics because I love the Olympics. And it kills me when we lose though. I'm very competitive. I'm be shouting, USA, USA. But you ever sit in like a place that's very crowded and look around and go, do you know what? Every one of these people here, everyone, God made them for a purpose. And it will blow you away because you'll see, I went to a USC-UCLA football game. I've never been with so many people in my life. But it hit me. I stood there and I went, every one of these people here were made different and with a purpose. And when you start thinking that and your mind explodes, you go, wow, it is. It's overwhelming. And what's even more overwhelming, God knows every one of those people. And that we can't fathom that. And today I want to talk about rest because it goes along with we were just not placed here just to be here. We all have a purpose. And rest is something, I'm going to read four definitions of rest. I got it out of the dictionary. I like the third and fourth one, but I'm going to read the four of them. Definition of rest, the refreshing, quiet, or repose of sleep. Ah, we all love sleep, don't we? We love sleep. Second, refreshing ease of inactivity after exertion or labor. Labor, exertion after work. We saw this guy, but he didn't know how to relax. I like the third one, relief or freedom. Especially from anything that wearies, troubles, or disturbs us. Look around. What disturbs you today? I mean, we are, you know, when I was a kid, we always heard, we're in the end times, and you had the hippies with the signs and the flower saying, the world is ending, we're near the end. I never believed it then. As I'm older now, and during this time now, I'm starting to think we're much closer, really much closer today than we were back when the hippies were walking around. George was one of them, but when the hippies were walking around, and he had his bike, and he put all the flowers on it, and he would run around with the peace sign on his shirt. That was George, but I that's another sermon. Yeah, when you had hair, yeah, tell me about it. And the fourth one I like, I titled it, Refresh with Rest Equals Jesus. Today we're going to talk about some scriptures. We're going to talk about some people in the Bible that rest can be many things. But our goal today is to understand that we have a purpose here. And it can be a lot. Everyone has a purpose in life. But if you don't allow Jesus to be your rest, then those purposes can't get accomplished because you're too focused on them and not understanding that Jesus has to give you the rest so that you can complete those purposes. So I want to start in Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read verse 28 through 30. And it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you might say, Pete, rest from what? I mean, we had work. You know what? Anger, hurt, separation, disheartened, addiction, worry. Put anything in there that's rest, that you need rest from. Doesn't just have to be work. It can be rest from something that you're doing for God, your ministry. But what happens is we carry, we don't give it to Jesus. We don't let him take our burden. We don't let his yoke overtake us. We carry it with us. We carried it to church today. We carried it to work. We carry it to school. We carry it wherever we go, to Costco. And those crowds drive me crazy. But I carry it there, and I get my focus is on that, not my purpose for being here. But we carry it, and we keep it with us. And we're going to get to this point again. We're going to make it a couple times today so my wife doesn't tell me you said the same thing over and over. I have to today. Where is she? Oh, did she leave me? Oh, she's coming. Oh, I know where she is. She's getting rest. She's getting rest. I want to say, I heard my son-in-law laugh, so that made me laugh. I want to make it, Jesus is primary. Jesus should always be primary. All these other things we need rest from, they're secondary. If we allow the secondary things in our life to take our focus off of our primary thing, Jesus, then we can't fulfill our purpose that he put us here for. Same with it's a good thing. All your secondary things don't have to be, quote, bad things or things that can hurt you. They can be good things. Golf. I have Dave back there. Dave is a great golfer. But if Dave, he's smiling, he knows it. I taught him one thing. Give yourself a chance. I remember teaching him that saying on a golf course. Now I don't want to play him because he's too good. If you take the subject, you could be the greatest golfer in the world. But if you're focusing it all on that and you're not getting refreshed, then you can't do what Jesus wants you to do out there on the golf course. He might be a golfer because God wants to use him on that golf course to get other golfers to know Jesus. Primary is first, always first. I have a guy at I work at the Y. You talk about crowds, I get aggravated. I have my friends here that works with me at the Y. It's so easy. You see people walking in with paperwork. Right away you go, oh no. Here they come. Now we have to do something. Now they're going to want this. They're going to ask 20 questions. They're going to do it. And it drives you crazy. It takes my focus off of what is real. But we have a guy there. I'm not mentioning his name. And he's a Christian. He's a good Christian. He knows the Lord. It's not George. George is there too, but he comes in. He goes to work out. He says that. When he comes out, I think he puts water on his head. And when he comes out all wet, he goes, I worked out hard. Yeah, right. You poured water on your head. You're not sweating. This Christian man, he tries to spread the word to everybody there. And he gets aggravating. He's one of the type that he makes us other Christians hard to talk to people because they relate us to him. Now, he's not saying wrong things to them. It's just the way he does it. And he came up to me the other day and he said, we just had a 5-hour conference on pre-tribulation, who's going to be here and who's not and this and that. And I went, sir, let me give you an example. Here's primary. Jesus is coming soon. Agree? Here's secondary. When? Who cares? Jesus is coming soon. Focus on that. The purpose is, are you ready when he comes? Who cares when he comes? Are you teaching Jesus to people? Are you rested? Are you ready to go out and say, Jesus is coming soon? Or are you going to argue or have a seminar for 5 hours on when? To me, that's a waste of time. So that's my point there. That's my soapbox preaching on that one. But, well, you know I'm going to sooner or later. And I want to go through two famous people in the Bible. And I was telling George earlier, I don't have the, what do you call those, iPads and everything. See my little notes and everything. I do it, I'm old school, so if somebody ever wanted to mess with me, all they'd have to do is come and pull those little tags out, and you'd see me say, oh, no. You can't Google a Bible like this unless you have it on your phone. So, no. I want to talk a little bit about Moses. We all know who Moses is. We all know what he went through with the people in the desert. He went through the Ten Commandments, the golden calf. We all know that. But in Exodus chapter 33, 12 through 14, I want to read this. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your way so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." And the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." I wrote there, this nation is your people. A church is God's people. And for us to go out and do things, we need Jesus. We need God's rest. We can't do it ourselves. Look at all the things that God gave the people in the desert. We hit funny songs about manna, manna cotti, manna this, manna that. Yet, God provided it. That was an old Keith Green song, by the way. Just manna cotti, it was in there. He said a lot of things. Manna, what were some? Yeah. Manna burgers. He gave them water out of a rock. He gave them everything they needed, yet what did the people do? They focused on what they needed. They didn't look to God. They focused on the secondary and left the primary alone. And then you have King Solomon. Wow. Here's a guy. Wouldn't it be awesome? King Solomon. God told him, I'm saying in a nutshell, but God told him, whatever you want, ask for it. What do you want? Imagine right now, Jesus standing right here and say, "Pete, what do you want? Anything, I want to give it to you." Well, you know, your flesh would say, "Oh, I want $10 billion and I want a Maserati and I want this and I want..." Think of it. Think of all the things that you could have asked for. Almost like I Dream a Genie. You had the three... And you know, you ever see... I remember I Dream a Genie, or you see these shows on genies and they say, you get three wishes. You know what my first wish would be? To have 10 million more wishes. Then I don't have to worry about the three wishes. What? That makes sense to me. But God asked Solomon. And Solomon said, "You know what I want, God? I want wisdom." Now think, he could have had anything. And he asked for wisdom. And God tells him, "You know what, Solomon? That's amazing. You could have asked me for anything in the world. You could have asked me for anything and I would have done it for you. But because you didn't and you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you everything anyway. I'm going to make you the wealthiest, most famous, most..." He gave him everything. Because Solomon knew, Solomon with his wisdom knew that God was primary. That God then would take care of all the other stuff if he trusted him, if he went to him, if he turned to him. And in 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 3 through 4, this is the conversation. Solomon was in charge of building the temple. Temple, you look at our building today. It would take a lot to do this even with our technology. But back then, God wanted his temple built a certain way. And I mean, we're talking about a lot of materials that we couldn't even touch today. And then the guys that could do it, God bless them, they know how to work with all this. But it's a task. It's a big job. And in the conversation, Solomon says, "You know that because of the wars waged against my father David from all sides, he could not build the temple for the name of the Lord his God until the Lord put his enemies under his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side, and there is no adversary or disaster. Solomon and his people, without turning to God for God's rest, would have always been looking over their shoulder, would have always been worrying, would have always been saying, what's going to happen? Because people are going to come and try to kill us. People are going to come and try to stop us. We have danger here. And Solomon knew if he went to God, God gave him rest, and then they were free to concentrate on their strengths, and they were free to concentrate. I can't say that word fast. I should say it slow. Concentrate. On their resources, see, I blew it, on building their building. They didn't have that worry on their back. God had their backs. The kind of rest he gave them was rest from all the distractions so that they could do what God wanted them to do. We have, in our life now, we do so many things. We are, Pastor Todd used to come here and said, technology, I'll never forget this. He said, technology was invented to make our lives easier. And all it's done is made us busier because it gives us more time to do more things. I don't like this. Hi, I'm Pete, and I don't like my phone. I used to have a flip phone like George. I have this for one reason. I do text now. We're not going to get into, I'm sorry, you guys will write me off. I'm sorry, you guys are going to hate me when I say this. Hate me in love. I don't like Facebook. I don't like Snapchat. I don't like Twitter. I don't like any of that stuff. But that's me. Please don't write me off, and because when Pastor Brian comes back and say, don't ever let that guy up here again. I have this for one reason. I was in a staff meeting. No, not even, something even more important, George. I'm getting there. And the person knows who I'm going to say. That's why 38 years of marriage in September, I have this for one reason. I was in... And I'm going to still tell you, but here's another pet peeve. I hope there's no Pokemons in here. What a waste. You talk about secondary and primary. God, I can't go to church because I'm looking for Pokemon. I can't feed the homeless because Pokemon is somewhere in the park. And it's 2 o'clock in the morning and I have to find them. I was in a staff meeting. Pokemon. I was in a staff meeting, and this person knew that I couldn't say a word. This person knew that I couldn't stop the whole meeting because there was all other people there. The door opens, and in comes my wife with a box. And she also knew that I was sitting beside somebody who knew how to do this in their sleep. If you had just given this to me, I still don't know how to do this. She gave me the box, and out she went. All of a sudden, the person, I'll do that for you. She knew that she would do that for me. And they set me up on this, said, you can do this, you can do that, you can do that. I answer the phone. I hang up the phone. I know how to text with two fingers. I don't know how these people do this. And that's what I use it for. There's no magic to it to me. But even technology, it's stopping us from getting to know who God is. Now, you again, like I said, you could technology is good if you're using it for the purpose of what God wants you to use it for. But make sure that God is primary and that is secondary. Because it works both ways. You can be so busy. You can be helping people. You can do all that. That could be your purpose here. But then you need rest. Or you get old and crusted like me, and you go to places and you go, oh, here comes someone with paperwork again. Oh, here, this person's going to bug me. I don't want to be bugged now. But that's my job. But my focus is on that, and I have the wrong attitude, and I have the wrong perspective, and I'm thinking things I shouldn't think. And then hopefully when my friend Kathleen sits beside me, I pawn them off to them. No, I don't do that. But when I work with my wife, she does, the phone will ring, and she'll just look at it. Because I work with my wife at work, and you going to answer that? You answer it. No, she doesn't do that. So God had his back. And Solomon realized, God has given me rest to be able to build this temple. So it's not that rest where you're sleeping. It's not that rest where you have those fuzzy when you're sleeping. I love that one type of sleep when you can hear things, but you just don't care. And you're just dozing. The whole world could be falling down and you're resting. God gives us the rest that empowers us. It fills us up. It refreshes us. It lets us move on to the next day. I'll use myself. I always like to use myself because when I speak, I'm speaking to myself also. I have a condition with my leg. A lot of people know it. I don't get into it with a lot of people because it's one of those things, you know, like when you walk up to someone, how's your leg? I hate when people do that because I've answered that question for how many years that it's all right. God's in control. My leg's okay. I'll handle it the way I have to handle it. But I told you the last time I spoke, I have my Fitbit. I love this thing, technology, but I use it to see how many steps I can walk a day. They say 10,000 a day is good. If I hit 10,000 today, that's 6 days in a row for me. Now, I'm not, I do that. Does it hurt? Yes. Does it bother me? Yes. But I go to God. God, this is the man you dealt me. But I need some rest here. I don't take pills every day. I could. I technically could, and I don't. I don't want to. So I go to God and I say, I know it's going to hurt, but give me some rest today. That's where maybe my oldest granddaughter comes in, she rubs my foot, or my wife will give me a foot rub, or I used to pay my grandson to rub my feet. He's probably going to buy a car with the money I gave him. But that kind of rest, it's not a coincidence. God's still going to keep you in the situations you are, but you have to realize that you need to put him first. So here's the dark side of what I'm telling you. Last week, on that first day that I decided I was really going to do this, I am losing weight because my wife said, you'll know when your pants start falling down, and I keep pulling them up, so I know I've lost some weight. You might not be able to tell, but I have. Somebody sent me a thing on my Fitbit that said, hi, be my friend, like Facebook. No, I don't want to be your friend. I already am your friend. I don't need you to be on my Fitbit to be my friend. But then it said, we want to compete with you. Now, remember what I said earlier, that I'm very competitive? So last Monday, it said, hi, I'm your friend, and I walked 48,000 steps this week. So I go to my thing. I said, hi, Pete, you walked 36,000 steps this week. And I went, this ain't going to happen. This ain't going to happen. I want this person today, when that program comes out, to say, Pete, walked 68,000 steps this week. What did you walk? But it's helping me to do my goal. And again, if I feel better, I can preach the word. I can work with the youth more efficiently, effectively. Those are the kind of things we have to look at. It isn't a coincidence. You could be going through something, but don't let it take your focus off of your purpose. We always need to find, seek, and look for that rest. And it's free. Jesus tells us, just ask me. I'll carry you through it. I'll be there with you. You are never alone. In Psalm 62, 5 through 6, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. A lot of things happen in your life. A lot of things recently in my life, leading up to today, leading up to a couple years ago, people always thought I was angry. I was disheartened. And there is a big difference between angry and disheartened. But it still took my focus, and it still is what I concentrated on more than I should have been concentrated on Jesus. What is Jesus' goals? What is Jesus' reason I'm here? What is my purpose? We can't lose that fact, a truth, primary and secondary. We can't. Because if we do, the enemy wins. If we do, we're still going to heaven. We know Jesus. If he's in our heart and we've asked him in, we're still going to go to heaven. But think of living through your life, able to handle all the junk. And this world's getting worse. All the junk that's coming at us. Think of how much, if we would just focus on him and let him bring us through it, I can't fathom how a person who doesn't know Jesus functions in today's world. I don't know. I can't even grasp that, how somebody can function without knowing Jesus. It just blows me away. So let's bring it back. Well, yeah, let's bring it back to my last scripture, and then I want to tell you guys a story, if I haven't already. My last scripture is in Jeremiah 6:16. And this is for us. I want you to picture, this is what he's saying to us today. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But when he said this in the old days, it said, we will not. But you said, and the people, we will not walk in it. They have a choice. We have a choice today. We're at the crossroads. I've painted a picture of our world. It's still God's great world, but God told us to occupy it, not to live here forever. And I painted that picture as you're at the crossroads. Which way are you going to go? Are you going to go secondary all the time? Or are you going to go primary? And are you going to let God be in control? And if you notice at the end of Jeremiah 6:16, it says, you will find rest for your souls. And when I started in Matthew 11:29, guess what Jesus said? You will find rest for your souls. I want to tell you a story, and then I'm right on time, I think. It's 10:30, but I want to tell you this story. I want you to picture this. It's about a grandmother that I know very well. My wife, greatest grandmother in the world. I know you all are great, greatest grandmother in the world. I'm going to use my little granddaughter, Billy. She's a spark plug. But I want you to picture this. Billy, Wes could have been picking on her. We watched Ninja Turtles instead of Paw Patrol, or she couldn't have real goldfish, because you know if you go to Walmart, you can buy other kind of goldfish. They don't look like the fish. They're like torpedoes or rockets, but they're not goldfish, and the world's over if you can't have goldfish. And she can be having a bad day. She can be hurting. She can be crying. She can be just having a 2 to 3 year old bad day. And then grandma comes in. And this is for all our kids, but I'm using Billy. And little Billy will look at her. And she'll go to her. And grandma will reach down and take her. And Billy will get up on her. And she'll find the little sweet spot on her shoulder. And she'll snuggle in. And she'll put her head down. And the arms go around her, and the legs go around grandma. And at that point, she is completely, totally content and restful because grandma has her. She has her. She doesn't care about any of that other stuff that happened. She's getting her rest so she can go back and beat him up the next time. But at that moment, she knows, grandma is my rest. And out she goes. Jesus is calling us to do that with him. He's calling us to come to him. Let him put our arms around us. Let him take our anger and our frustrations and our disheartening and our problems and our addictions and our worries. And for that moment, let him fill you up. Let him refresh you. Let him hold you so that you know that you know that you know that he's in control. And so the next time it happens, you're ready for it and you know that he's equipped you to handle it better than the first time. That's the picture I want to leave you with, God, you guys, the church today. Know that he's standing there just saying, come, come to me. Come, let me hold you. Amen.
And close your eyes for a sec. With that great story, let's all close our eyes and let's picture that right now. That time of complete rest. That time of no worry. That whatever those problems during the day are. Now picture yourself in that place, holding on to your Savior, holding on to your God. Let's take a time to respond. I want you to think in your mind of those things that might be bothering you right now that God brought to your mind that he wants you to not worry about. Those things that might have been a burden on you yesterday or Friday as you finished out your work week or any time through this week. I want you to bring to the forefront of your mind right now those things that distract, that pull us away. And as those are in your forefront of your mind, I want you to just lay them down at God's feet. That they are secondary. That they are things that he will take because his burden is light. With your eyes closed, I want you to raise your hands if you want to give up those things this morning. If you want to make Jesus a priority, go ahead and raise your hands. Keep your eyes closed, but raise your hands. Do you want to make Jesus a priority? Do you want to get rid of those things and have him take them off of your burden? I agree with you and all of you and you, and everyone who's raising their hands. So Lord, we just come before you right now. For those who have raised their hands, those who have those things on their minds, Lord, we lay them at your feet, not to pick them back up again, to know that they are there, to know that we have responsibility for them in some way, but not to worry or make them a priority because you are our priority. So Lord, we give you those things right now. And with every eye closed, every head bowed, if you have not received that hug from Jesus and you want to be entered into his family, if you want to be a child of God who can lay your burdens down, I agree completely with Pastor Pete as he said, I don't know how people can live in this world now without knowing Jesus. If you want to know that Jesus that holds you, with every eye closed and every head bowed, just go ahead and look up at me and I'm going to agree and we're all going to say a prayer together. Go ahead and look up at me. I'm standing. I see you. I see you. Amen. Go ahead and close your eyes. Everyone, go ahead and would you repeat after me? Dear Jesus, I want to be part of your family. I have worries and issues that I cannot handle alone. I know that I am a sinner and that your grace saves me. I accept you, Jesus. I want to be hugged by you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you guys go ahead and give a clap offering to God for those who are saved this morning? To Pastor Pete, we're going to find some time for rest, amen. All right, would you stand as we enter our last time, I want to pray a blessing over you. Go ahead and